إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا وقال تعالى ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إذا أتى أحدكم خادمه بطعامه فإن لم يجلسه معه فليناوله لقمة أو لقمتين أو أكلة أو أكلتين فإنه ولي علاجه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الصلاة وما ملكت أيمانكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, the hadith that I have quoted before you, a very short, very brief, but very encompassing hadith, and indeed a very significant hadith in the compilation of hadith, for the simple reason that this was just not an advice from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the scholars unanimously agree this was the final advice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his entire ummah. Every child wishes to honor and cherish the last moments of his parents. What were the last words my father said before he died? Even if I did not obey him throughout his life, but I feel it is my duty that I honor, cherish, revere and uphold the final parting advice of my father. Let us look and view today. As a matter of fact, we were supposed to know this advice from the time we very understood deen. It is unfortunate that we have understood and we cherish and we honor the last words of everyone other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scholars unanimously agree. We haven't got time to discuss the fatal illness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as it started, you know, turning and day by day, and the symptoms of death were now becoming more apparent and more evident. Gradually, on the one instance, he was unable to come to the masjid, and he even points to the Sahaba and he says, "Muru Abu Bakrin fal yusalli bin nas." They tell Abu Bakr to now lead the people, which was a clear indication also that after my demise, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will take in charge. It was in these few days, towards the latter part of his life, as the sun of Nabuwat, which rose and brightened the entire world, was now coming close to setting, and the time was coming for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave this world. The last, final, parting advice which he has left, wallahi, has not been for his daughters or his wives, but he has advised the ummah of certain pertinent points, which the ulama say, in essence, is the summary of the entire deen, the hadith which I have quoted. Two advices Nabi alayhi salam has left for his ummah in his concluding words. In fact, this was said at that stage where the speech of Nabi alayhi salam was not only very audible as well. Why? It was the very latter part of his life. It was before leaving this world, before asking Allah the highest of abodes in Jannat. His last advice for his ummah was, As-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. Oh my sahaba, I summarize my entire stay amongst you in two words. The Quran, the Hadith, my noble personality, I leave behind two things which summarizes deen. Fear Allah with regards to the performance of Salah. And O my Sahaba, and from you onwards to the ummah that is to follow, fear Allah with regards to how you treat your subjects, your subordinates, those under your employment, those under your control. Fear Allah in these two matters. Saying this, he took his last breath and he left this world. We don't need the month of May or the 1st of May to remind us of our obligation to our workers and those under our employment. As Muslim, the ulama ikram explain in this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, entire deen, the summary or a synopsis of the entire deen has been given. The first advice that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah with regards to salah. The ulama say that that person who will be particular of his salah, insha'Allah, he will be more conscious of his other obligations towards Allah. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. And he who is negligent with regards to the performance of salah, he will neglect the other injunctions and commandments even more than salah. So as far as our rights and our obligations to Allah go, the most important being salah. He who preserves his salah, inshallah, he will uphold and preserve all his duties and his obligations to Allah. The second aspect of the final advice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he who will be kind to his servants, those under his employment, those working for him, those upon whom Allah has given him certain access and power and authority, at this crucial juncture, if he will be kind to them where he has authority, then insha'Allah, such a person will never fail in the duty of his next Muslim brother, his neighbor, his parents, his seniors. We know it is broken down into many denominations. We have rights towards our neighbors, relatives, etc., etc. The one who will be particular about this, in safeguarding and maintaining good ties with those under him. Because brothers, really, if we want to understand, or we want to identify, or we want to measure a man's kindness, on the day of Qiyamah, a man's kindness, as I will substantiate in the light of hadith, will be measured by his attitude, not towards his customer. There is customer courtesy that you smile, and you deceive yourself that, no, I'm a good man, my customers love me. Brothers, we have to understand, I've mentioned this before as well, unfortunately, we have consoled ourselves that we are good people on the grounds that so-and-so loves us, honors us, respects us, whose joy holds no basis and recognition in the eyes of Allah. By way of example, a man speaks of himself proudly, Alhamdulillah, my boss, he loves me, man. He has promoted me, he's given me a high job, and he's made me, you know, the firm of, he's made me the in charge of the particular firm, or he's made me the directing manager. My in-laws, Allahu Akbar, my mother-in-law say I'm like a son to her. My mother, she's never happy. You mustn't worry about it. She's never. Allah's got nothing to do with your boss and your neighbor and your in-laws. Allah has everything to do with your mother. You're fussing that the world loves you, but your mother doesn't love you. That's the way how Allah will judge you. I'm not saying, by, we all married, we have in-laws. Don't get me wrong. Respect your in-laws and have good relation. If it can be done while pleasing Allah, you can accommodate pleasing your in-laws, well and good. But this attitude that I'm good because my neighbor loves me, my boss loves me, my in-laws love me, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, this one, that one, my mother, she's never happy, she's always nagging. Allah has everything to do with your mother. You thrill yourself that the customer is happy. My brother, Allah will not judge you how you treat your customer. If that servant working in your house, you can convince him by virtue of your character, and he is happy with you, rest assured Allah is happy with you. And if that man in your house under your employment is being abused, as unfortunately is happening, then remember, as I will explain in the light of hadith, the matter is going to be critical on the day of Qiyamah. So that one who will be kind and loyal to his servants and his subjects and those that are under his employment, inshallah, such a man will never abuse the rights and what he owes to anyone and everyone. We find the ayat al-kareema that I recited in the beginning, the first principle that the Quran teaches us, or Allah cautions us with regards to dealing with our subjects and our servants. And today I wish to focus on that aspect, speaking to those that are our domestic servants, those that are under our employment, working at home, which we very well know are working for meager amounts. Many of us have such people under our employment who are, apart from being poor, are reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah, who are those that perform salah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam endeavors to go on a journey to acquire knowledge. The Quran says, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ. The first advice that the Quran mentions here is, how does the Quran refer? What was the word that Allah uses when speaking to a servant? Allah does not refer to a servant as a servant in this verse, but rather Allah refers to it as a young boy. The ulama ikram explain, one is to say, hey, worker, come here, man. And one is to say, my young boy, you don't want to do me a favor, please. Allah hasn't referred to the servant of Musa as the servant of Musa, although everybody agrees he was the servant, but Allah has used the word fata in Arabic, and fata in Arabic means young boy. So the first etiquette, in fact, under the commentary of this ayat, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell my servants to utter that which is correct. Under the commentary of this ayat, the scholars say that it is incorrect, it is unlawful, it is prohibited to speak in a harsh tone even to a kafir, be it a servant or anyone. Yes, when the need comes to wage war, Allah has made it lawful to even kill them, because by virtue of that you are establishing the deen of Allah and jihad is taking place on the earth. But by speaking harshly, arrogantly, proudly, in a haughty way, demanding authority, the Quran says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is Allah who has proportioned your livelihood, making some superior while others are inferior. لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. Not inferior in color or complex, but rather in position, in apparent position. Some are in power, others are lower than them. Why? Allah has... Part of the system of Allah in this world is to create or to make to promote dependence on one another. While one is dependent for the wage, the other is dependent for labor. This is the system of Allah, and Allah explains it clearly in this ayat. And we learn from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he whom Allah has given power and authority over some of his bondsmen, over some of his creation, he should think, ponder and reflect that this is the kindness of Allah upon me. Allah had the ability to reverse the situation, just as this man and his son is under my employment. Allah can reverse the tables tomorrow. Myself and my son can be under his employment. What gives us the authority to speak to that man harshly? Yes, he is a servant of Allah. He's either desperate or he has sense and is noble. So he doesn't comment when your child speaks to him arrogantly, addresses him in the most unpleasant ways, as though he's speaking to I don't know what creature. The man tolerates it, he accepts it, he's quiet, he's silent, he's desperate for the job, he needs to feed the family, he needs to feed children. But let us not forget that man's hurt in his heart will bring such calamities and miseries in your life. Wallah, the physicians and the wealth of this doctor of this world cannot remove it. Every time you insult that man in front of the family, every time you offend him, you criticize him, your child has the rights to speak to him how he wants to. Suwayd ibn Muqarrin in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif says, we had one slave. One day the young child in our house went towards that slave. فَلَّطَمَهَا أَصْغَرُنَا. And the child seen that the parents were treating the servant anyway, so the child slapped the servant. When Nabi alayhi salam heard about it, he commanded us immediately, set the slave free, otherwise your Jahannam is at stake, your Jannat is at stake. What will be your condition on the day of Qiyamah? So the first principle that the Quran teaches us is politeness. To speak in a good way. Brothers, those are humans. They have feelings. Yet they might be desperate. That's a different issue. Today Allah has given us power. Tomorrow Allah can reverse the situation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the riwayat of Bukhari on the authority of Abu Huraira, which the hadith I have quoted before you. Nabi alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَتَى أَحَدَكُمْ خَادِمُهُ بِطَعَامِهِ. When any one of you is presented with food by your servant. How unfortunate, how tragic. What the ummah was supposed to reflect in the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, what are we reflecting to our subjects? And really, because we cannot respect them, that is why we have lost respect in our life. That man will tolerate it, he will live his life, he will take his wage. Wallah, your child will grow up with a rotten tongue. Nabi alayhi salam says, when your servant brings a platter of food to you, we sit in a proud way, put up the price stand, bring the charcoal. That man comes, he works, he puts up the braai stand, prepares the barbecue, empties the charcoal, brings the meat, braais the meat. In any human, when he will sit by that, won't his heart also desire, after being hungry, preparing the meal, you arrogantly walk in there, move, when I finish, you come and clean up. Abu Mas'ud Badri radiallahu anhu says, I was hitting one of my slaves. Kuntu adribu ghulaman li. And I had him like this. As you see, one hand, he held him, and with the other hand, he's about to slap him. When suddenly I heard a voice from the back, Ya Aba Mas'ud, Inna Allaha aqdaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. I heard some voice, but because of my anger, falam afhami sawt min al-ghadab. I couldn't identify the voice, neither did I understand the message. And I kept on hitting the man. Falamma dana minni, as this man drew closer to me, and I turned, suddenly I seen it was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَسَقَتَ السَّوْتُ مِنْ يَدِي مِنْ هَيْبَتِهِ. Out of the awe-striking personality of Nabi alayhi salam, my whip and my lash fell from my hand there and there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, O Abu Mas'ud, Allah has more authority over you than you have over the slave. Allah has more power over you than you have over the slave. Allah has more rights over you than you have over the slave. I walked into a shop few days ago. Wallah, this hadith flashed through my mind. The servant came, in a good way, in a polite way, to ask the boss something. And this man personally, I know, may Allah give him hidayat and the entire ummah. He addresses the man in a very harsh way. I'm the boss. You don't tell me what to do. This hadith flashed through my mind. My friend, you the boss, you interfering with Allah. Allah has more access. Wait, you feel you can retrench. Wait when Allah retrenches. You feel you can beat. Wait when Allah beats. You feel you in control. Wait when Allah exercises His authority. He said, O Nabi of Allah, huwa hurrun liwajhi Allah. Can I release this slave and say he is free here and here? Nabi alayhi salam says, it's just as well you said it. Otherwise, Jahannam will not leave you. Ama law lam taf'al lala fahatka an-nar. Nabi alayhi salam says, when your servant brings food to you, fa'in lam yujlishu ma'ahu, if you find it below your dignity to tell him to sit down next to you, then it is human sentiments and emotions and compassion that should compel you not to allow him to sit there and wait and see how you enjoy the meat and eat it relishly. Call him forward. Prepare one platter for him. He who has prepared the words of Bukhari on the authority of Abu Huraira, فَإِنَّهُ وَلِيَ عِلَاجَهُ. He prepares your food. He brings your cold ring. He decorates your table. You come and sit there arrogantly. It doesn't hurt you. You boast and you brag and you flatter yourself. And then when the meal is over, you call him. Brothers, one hadith on the day of Qiyamah. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Where Allah says, the scales of justice will be presented on the day of Qiyamah. Today Allah forgive our attitude is such, our servants cannot speak with us. We are so inaccessible. We are so proud. We are so arrogant. They cannot make any comment. They cannot ask us. You don't ask me. There's the door. Maymoon ibn Mahran, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, how many times a day should I overlook and pardon the wrong of my servant? They are bound to make mistakes. How many times should I overlook? Nabi alayhi salam looked down. He paused. Then he lifted his gaze and he said, up to 70 times a day you should pardon him. Up to 70 times a day you should pardon him. If you want Allah to pardon, this is your chance. Until we will not conquer this aspect of our life and convince those that are under our control that we are people who love kindness and peace and mercy, we are thrilling ourselves that we will reflect an image of piety and obedience to the world. Those that are under our control, over whom Allah has given us authority, this is the contentious issue. This is the crucial juncture where man forgets his position. What happens? The hadith. Maymoon ibn Mahran, she says, one day I had some visitors. So I told my slave girl, bring some food. The slave girl excited, these visitors, my master, my boss, is wants me to do everything properly. They have feelings also. They are humans. As she was coming, she slipped and she fell. And with her fell the platter and the glass and the cold ring and the beverages. Now apparent embarrassment in front of my visitors. But this woman was intelligent, and wallah, more intelligent than her was her boss. She said, my master is such a man before whom Quran means law. I'm not going to speak to him. I am going to let Allah speak to him. I'm going to now read the verses of the dwellers of Jannat. So as she's coming, she can see anger billing into her master. Human emotions, anger, overpowered. So she starts describing the verse of the Quran. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. Allah says the second quality of the dwellers of Jannat are those who constantly, perpetually suppress and swallow their anger. Allahu Akbar. Who's telling the master? His slave. He looks down. He says, كَظَمْتُ غَيْضِ. My slave, you have it. I have swallowed my anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who forgive for the pleasure of Allah. My slave, you have it. عَفَوْتُ عَنْكِ. I have pardoned you. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who do good. My slave, you have it. You are free for the pleasure of Allah. Brothers, where is this akhlaq? Wallah, those working for us, who are 20 years under our employment, have never questioned us about Islam. Revive this akhlaq. They will come into the flocks, into fold of Islam in a manner we won't understand where and how it's happening. Let us reflect that akhlaq. In the riwayat of Tirmizi, I haven't got time. There's so much to explain. One person comes to Nabi alayhi salam, Ya Rasulallah, innali mamlukain. O Nabi of Allah, I have certain servants. Yakzibunani. They sometimes speak a lie to me. Yakhununani. They betray me. يَعْصُونَنِي. They disobey me. أَشْتِمُهُمْ وَأَضْرِبُهُمْ. Sometimes I get upset, I verbally abuse them, and sometimes I physically hit them. I'm telling you the truth, O Nabi of Allah. Times they anger me, At times they to be blamed, at times I'm to be blamed. But I need to know, how will Allah view my situation with how I deal with my servants on the day of Qiyamah? How is Allah going to view this situation in the light of Quran and Hadith? This riwayat is in Tirmidhi Sharif, under the commentary of the Sayyid, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Where Allah says, we will present the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. We very quickly tell the man that doesn't want to pay us, my friend, there's something like Qiyamah. My friend, there's something like Allah. My friend, there's something like Jahannam. My friend, I'm telling you, that man is quiet. Otherwise, his heart is reminding you daily of your attitude. There's something like Qiyamah. There's something like Hashar. There's something like accountability. Is Hisab only for those that owe me? And for who I owe, Allah is kind. Nabi alayhi salam says, you will be summoned in the court of Allah, and all your servants will be lined up before you. Allahu Akbar. Today, no master, no slave, no boss, no worker, no ruler, no subject. You're a human, he's a human. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No soul will be dealt with unjustly. He is a soul, he is a human. He is the creation of Allah. الْخَلْقُ عِيَالُ اللَّهِ. The entire creation is the family of Allah. وَأَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى عِيَالِهِ. And the best in the eyes of Allah is he who is kind to the family of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says they will be summoned and brought in the court of Allah. Allah will then ask, and Allah will view your situation. فَإِنْ كَانَ يُحْسَبُ مَا خَانُوكَ وَعَسَوْكَ وَكَذَبُوكَ وَعِقَابُكَ إِيَّاهُمْ. Allah will measure their wrong. We haven't got time. We are not for a moment suggesting that the employee should be negligent in his duties. No, no, there should be commitment. He should be competent in his work. He should convince those that are above him that he's out to work. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. The two desired qualities in every laborer and every worker, as the Quran says, he should be trustworthy and he should be hardworking. If he's hardworking, he will fulfill his work. And if he's not trustworthy, like we've seen, he will abuse the phone of his boss. He will abuse the car of his boss. He will abuse the money. Brothers, this is not between us and our boss. This is not us between us and the union. Wallah, that is between me, you and Allah. Everybody else is gone. Allah is watching everything. In the office, you're abusing the rights of... We have heard from my asatiza, may Allah make me like this. I'm far from this. You know, in the madrasas, when we teach, cushions are provided for the ustad to sit on and give dars in his class, in his hall. We have heard from my asatiza of his own ustads that whenever any person came to ask a mas'ala from outside, he would get off the cushion and he would say that the madrasa has provided this for me to teach the students and not answer your question. If I have to answer your question, I have to get off this. I cannot use their property to see something which is not part of my agreement with them. So of course, from the employee, there should be commitment, there should be competence, there should be dedication and devotion. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salam says, their wrong, their transgression will be measured proportionate to how much you abuse them verbally or physically. فَإِنْ كَانَ عِقَابُكَ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِمْ كَانَ كَفَافًا. If your punishment and your penalty is equal to the wrong that they had done, كَانَ كَفَافًا, your account will be clean. لَا لَكَ وَلَا عَلَيْكَ. No punishment for you, no reward for you. However, if you were more tolerant to them and their wrong, the hadith is lengthy in Tirmidhi, if their wrong was more than how much you admonished them and reprimanded them, then this will be credit to your account. Like it comes in the hadith, مَا خَفَّفْتَ عَنْ خَادِمِكَ. That sadqa is not only given. Nabi alayhi salam says, if you lessen the task of your servant, that today is the day of Eid, let's release them of their burden. Today no cleaning the house, no cleaning the shop, no cleaning the car. Today it's our happy day. I'm releasing you of all your burdens. Nabi alayhi salam says, as long as you relieve them of any burden, Allah Pak records that as perpetual charity on your part. So if you did not admonish them, you tolerated it, your patience with them will elevate your stages in Jannah. However, reverse the situation. If you punish them and you physically or verbally abuse them beyond their wrong, then revenge will be taken from the boss, from the master, from that man with power and arrogance and haughtiness. They will now enjoy your good and you will enjoy their wrong. Yeah, it won't be master and slave, human and human. This man came back, he held his head and he started screaming. Says, O Nabi of Allah, do you mean it's going to be so critical? Nabi alayhi salam says, yes, this is how Allah will judge you. He says, well, then I don't think there's any better way other than me setting them free. Ushiduka annahum kulluhum ahrar. O Nabi of Allah, I make you my witness that I'm setting them all free for the pleasure of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says, if you want to do it that way, that is your choice, the better for you. So brothers, in conclusion, the final advice of Nabi alayhi salam, study the books of hadith, was, fear Allah with regards to the performance of salah, and fear Allah with regards to kindness towards your subjects, kindness to those under your employment. It comes in the hadith that that person who will accuse his servant, which happens many often, something goes missing, without us looking, immediately we accuse. Nabi alayhi salam says, the words of the hadith, he who accuses his servant will be brought on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah directly will arrange for him to be lashed in front of his servant until or unless his servant is found guilty of the accusation. If he is innocent and had not committed that crime, then the very boss or the owner will be accused against the accusation that he had made against his servant. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He instilled within us this noble akhlaq, these teachings. We have to judge a man, Anas radiallahu anhu, who was the servant of Nabi alayhi salam. Brothers, don't judge a man by his attitude towards his seniors. Then he's obligated, where he has authority. This is the crucial place where man forgets who he is. And this is where man abuses his authority. Anas radiallahu anhu was the servant of Nabi alayhi salam. He says, for 10 years I served Nabi alayhi salam. You cannot tell me as a young child, Nabi alayhi salam was not provoked into a situation of anger. Any child in a youth, in fact, in one riwayat it comes, Anas radiallahu anhu said, I actually one day intentionally, deliberately delayed the task given to me by Nabi alayhi salam to examine his reaction if I don't do what he tells me. Allahu Akbar. So I actually did it. One person, we haven't got time, the slave girl of one sahabi, she told her master, you know what master, for the last year I have been giving you poison, but you're not dying. For the last 1 year I've been giving you poison, you don't know, but really, in the end I have to tell you the secret. What's happening? You're not dying. So the sahabi said, What provoked you to do this? She says, no, I'm not happy with you. He says, for the pleasure of Allah, I have forgiven you also, I have pardoned you also, and I set you free also. We need this akhlaq to come out in the world. Really, the world is desperate. At this time, when there is global focus on condemning and reflecting an unpleasant image of the Muslims worldwide, internationally, via media and paper, it is time all the more that we revive the noble akhlaq of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us start off in our own homes with those that are under our employment. Let us open our hearts, help them, provide for them. Nabi alayhi salam says, kindness to your servants brings good fortune, brings divine aid and assistance, and harshness and rudeness and cruelty to them will bring divine calamities, miseries, and it will come in such a way that we won't understand how to cure it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instill and infuse within us this noble quality of kindness to our subjects and our subordinates. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.